is April 12, 1986, Detroit, Michigan. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Many of you cry because you say, God does not guide me. God never tells me what he or she, depending on your point of view, wants from me. I have no way of knowing if I should do this or if I should do that. I have no idea of what my whole life should be about. And most of all, I have no idea how I should live each moment. As I tried to touch upon two nights ago when we gathered in the public sense, I tried to tell you then, and I'd like to repeat it now, this is simply not the case. The reason that you believe it to be true is for centuries now, the church has taken on the job of being the one who tells you what God would like for you. And if we could say anything about the New Age, it is not to speak against the church because it has its own wondrous sense of beingness and power, but rather to make you the warrior along with whatever might happen in your church and religious sense of things. In order to empower you, you have got to really understand that you hold within you many, many tools of knowing precisely what it is that the divine within you would want for you, how it would want you to overcome the obstacles that have come into your life. From the time you move into the earth plane experience, obstacles begin. You are all aware of them. Many of you have children. You are aware that you have been an obstacle for your children, as well as your parents have been an obstacle for you. And any lack of honesty along that line is a detriment. Because of the fears inherent in the physical plane, there are many statements made to children, and which are, of course, all of you have been children, that just stay with them until they take the authoritative position within themselves. I've done enough of that. Now is the time to be free of fear. Fear is not necessary for human life. It is not a necessary need. It is something that if you choose to look at can change in you so that your perception of that wonderful energy that you have called fear can be used for your benefit rather than as the great adversary, the great enemy, the great thing to avoid at all costs. Fear is an incredibly strong power that will run through you and around you and ignite you to incredible clarity. One of the difficulties is you believe so much in the rational mind that it is difficult for you to believe in the power of what I would call the instinctive or the intuitional, whatever that other side of you is, that you call it whatever you want. Most important, it is for you, please, to watch as your journey goes from moment to moment and to ask yourself, as you move through those moments, what is it that is empowering me now? How can I use this simple technique, this simple idea, this simple device in order to release the obstacles that I feel present in my psyche? Try your deepest to find that within you which you would consider to be the greatest obstacle to your own sense of total and complete joy and well-being. The divine power says to you, you can live on this planet in a state of joy and well-being, no matter what the condition of the planet. It does not matter in the deeply intuitive sense what is going on outside of you. You have the capabilities to generate the necessary peace and wonder and delight and bliss within you to walk this planet as the warrior ready to face whatever destiny might be yours or the planet's itself with that same kind of lighthearted wonder and delight. I realize that doubt creeps in. I realize that doubt is present. Doubt is a delightful power, which when faced with open humor, enjoyment, and acceptance, can be used to fuel the journey. I do not mind doubt. What bothers me is apathy. I much prefer a room full of doubters who say, prove to me the existence of a God power, than ones who says, yes, I know, but does not really know. So doubt is delightful. Apathy is difficult. So, let us just state again the simple, basic rules of meditation, which are very, very easy to follow. Rule number one, as much as possible, do not move. This is not because of your neighbor, although of course it helps your neighbor, but it helps you. So as much as possible, take a position of rest, of ease, but of alert awareness. Alert body awareness. If the spine is straight, you'll find your job much easier. Find that place of ease and begin the sweet watching of your breath. A sweet, constant watching of the breath. Now, let me explain what I mean. The breath is the bridge. You know it well. Between the vastness outside of you and the vastness within you. They are not separated. By watching the rising and the falling of the breath, simply that, the rising and the falling of the breath, nothing fancy, just watch the rising and the falling, what happens is that the entire psyche focuses on nothing more than the rising and the falling, and then the doorways begin to open. Your only job, there is nothing in the entire universe to concern yourself with now. You can do nothing other than watch the rising and the falling. Any thought that you think will not change any event outside of this moment. All that is required, please, is the watching of the rising and the falling of the breath within you. Some of you choose to feel it in the heart chakra, the solar plexus area. Others in what is called the hara, which is in the abdomen. Choose your position and just simply sit and feel the rising and the falling. The rising and the falling. When you are tempted to move, just simply state, not now. Mastery can happen on all levels. And to sit for this time in quiet body silence makes a statement. I am serious about what I am setting out to do on this day. And I begin with silencing the ever-insistent desires of the physical body. You are making a statement. Most of you spend most of your time with your awareness outside of your physical body. You can test to what degree this is true for you as you watch yourself during this day. My first directive to you, please, is to practice the awareness of how often does your awareness stray out of your body and move out into the world in order to keep you safe. The master begins mastery by deciding to stay deeply within the physical body, because it is within the physical body that you have access to the rod of power within you. It does not exist outside of you. Meditation begins with forcing yourself to sit and inhabit your physical body. As you become at ease with that, you become delighted because you have finally decided to know who you are. You do not know who you are because you are looking outside of yourself. Meditation ends when you have conquered the temptation to put your awareness outside of you and have learned the delight of keeping your awareness inside of your body every moment of every day. You, that you will never empower yourself unless you learn how to stay inside of your body and do everything from that point of reference. One of the easiest and oldest techniques is as follows. I suggest it to you. As you begin to rise up, as you begin to walk, as you move your hands, your arms, your feet, if you will just stay aware of what you are doing with the consciousness of foot is moving, foot is placing on the ground. Feel the sensations of your feet on the ground. Feel your body as it is moving through time-space. Feel the touch of everything that you touch, the taste, the texture of the food going in, the feeling of sound moving within you, then you will begin to understand. Now, many of you talk constantly. This is because you are trying to divert yourself from the quiet of being you. Silent, alive, alert, extended. If you will keep speech at a minimum, watching how you move, watching the tendency to join with others' eyes and somehow to connect with them, the tendency to want to say something just to assure yourself that you're safe, the tendency to go up and hug someone or touch someone just to get some kind of a recognition outside of yourself, all of these will show you how at ease are you in your own physical body without the material that comes to you from the outside world to give you the sense of your safety. You are looking for your safety outside of yourself, and you will never find it there. If you stay in your body, you will have maximum opportunity to know where your safety lies. To be balanced in any way means to learn how to re-listen. In the past, you have learned to listen to your environment in order to stay safe. You know, mommy and daddy are tromping around, and at any moment, the wrath of the heavens can descend on you. So if you are very wise, you will pay attention. Where is mommy? Where is daddy? What's happening? Do you understand? The antenna goes out. But you're not listening to you. You're listening to them because you want to stay safe. As you go through your years, you listen more and more outside of yourself. Now, the job is to start listening inside all of the time. This is where the warrior puts its lance, right inside of the physical body. Stands the rod of power, the lance of the warrior, whatever it might be, it's inside. inside your body. In the body itself is all of the apparatus for the listening, for the understanding, and all of the doorways begin here in the physical body. So if you're out there, you're missing. You're listening to them, you're alert to them, but you're not getting your own empowered feeling. All right. Every night, without exception, you dream of God in some way or other. Every night of your night. If you did not, you would be deranged. It is the remembrance of who you are and who and what God is that keeps you on this planet and does not take you to the suicide bottle or whatever you would decide upon. So you don't remember. They don't come back to you. Most of the time, because most of you do not feel that that is something that you deserve. So as a statement I want to make right now, if you begin every night of your life to say, God, come as close to me as you possibly can in whatever shape or form or color or wonder that I can accept, please, tonight, please, please, please. And if every night of your life you ask for that, it will come closer and closer. If your whole intention in your sleep state is to see in the dream state the so-called spiritual part of your awareness, it will start moving towards you. Do you understand? You stand as the guardian on the threshold, back and forth. And if you state, that's what I want to see, I've seen all the garbage in myself, say you. I want to see my God self. I'm ready for that. Show it to me. Bring it close to me. I want it. I need it. It is what I want and delight in. Do you see? You choose. You choose. Always. If you are willing and ready to break through the veil, what you will decide to do is begin to make a statement to the deep self that you are ready to do this. And you can do it in many ways. One, those of you who are good at meditation, and there aren't many in the modern world who are, because your life is not set up for that kind of life. You know, you go and you go at a tremendous velocity, and then all of a sudden you say, all right, it's time to meditate, and you sit down somewhere, everything crashes, and then you sit there and wonder why the doors don't pop open. It is because you have not been in a meditative state all day or even part of the night, and therefore it is very difficult because the energy is going outwardly. You know, the great meditators are the ones who have sat around for many, many hours meditating. This is why, as you get older, one of the wondrous things is you can arrange your life so that you can be a meditator, so that you can meditate deeply and open those doorways. But most of you are at the stage in life where you're still very much out in the world, and so to be a deep meditator is difficult. Nevertheless, if you sit there for a prescribed time every day and just make the statement, I'm going to begin to quiet myself down, this makes a statement to the deep self that says, all right, that's what we want to do. Now, for those of you who do not do well at that, I still ask you to put in some time. I don't think it'll ever be a worthless occupation. But you can begin the tedious but then increasingly delightful job of recording every night, every day, whenever you awaken from a sleep state, the primary, important, empowered dream states that you encounter. If you do this on an ongoing basis, you will see precisely where your problem lies. You will see what the images mean to you. You will see what the solution is. You will hear from your very own deep self what it is that they want you to hear and how you can come to resolution. It is not a mystery. I would suggest to you, those of you who feel stuck, you know, I sense in some of you that feeling of being stuck. You know, you've done all the right things. You've done all the things that you should have done, and yet nothing is moving. You don't feel that the problems are being resolved. They simply come up again in another form with another relationship or whatever it might be. Until the basic resolution happens in you, new relationship cannot come. I don't care how new the person, the relationship will always look the same until you make within yourself the resolution of the basic dilemmas. Now, there are not many things that man has to reconcile. I think one of the basic ones is a matter of trust. many of you have stopped somewhere along the way trusting. You do not trust God. You do not trust that God is alive. You do not trust that God can move in your life. You do not trust that God can change anything in your life. You just simply hope somewhere out there that he's there, and maybe someday he'll bump into you. And let's hope that when he does, he likes you. This is the kind of thought pattern that goes through most of your consciousness. But that is not the kind of consciousness that is going to break through and get a sense of the wonder that life has to offer. Now, when you take it on yourself to be a follower of the power within the dream state, you don't have to do it forever, you know. I'm just asking you to begin the process to such an extent that night after night after night, the message begins to come through. Then you will begin to hear. You will begin to sense and know. You'll begin to even begin to see the divine self manifesting in the dreams. The reason you don't have more dreams about the God self is also because there is this wonderful fog of your own personality problems. You know, the personality issues keep coming up and coming up, coming up. And until they are reconciled to some extent or other, the great power dreams of the God self do not come into you at the greatest rate and as you would wish them to come. So the job is very simple. You spend a lot of your time asleep. And in those hours, you are being taught all the time. I said to you, and I mean it, God has manifested through your dreams since you first came to this earth plane. It's one of the major ways that all of the people from all of the centuries and all of the peoples of the world have talked to God, is through their dreams. But because you are so sophisticated now as Western sophisticates, you've lost the touch. It's that intuitive part of yourself that thunders through in your dreams that says, how about this? How about this? How about this? So, if you are stuck, if you have a difficulty, whatever it might be, I would ask you to begin to be serious. Now, you will say to me, oh, I never remember my dreams. Oh, I can't remember my dreams, so forth. All this means is that you are still outside of yourself. We began with this, and we are now there. Someone who says, I can't remember my dreams, is someone who isn't paying attention because they don't feel that in themselves they have any information. You do not know that you have the information. So therefore, even in the dream state, you do not listen to yourself talking to you. If you will begin to trust, and every night say, even if it's just a fragment, begin with a fragment if that's all you can remember, or two fragments and so forth, it will build, it will build, it will build. Now, the question always arises, after the dreams come, to whom do you go for the interpretation? I would beg you to keep your mouths shut. When you go to other people and say, oh, I had this dream and this dog did this and so forth, well, the minute you say this, the person who you're talking to has a great long line of association with the dog. And out of that comes their projection of what this dog must mean. Oh, and then you open up one of those wonderful tomes that says this is what it means and so forth. A projection of the person that wrote the book, no doubt, and very helpful for that person, but not necessarily very helpful for you, because your history of dog-relatedness is not in that text itself. So the first and primary thing is, please don't listen to other people, listen to yourself. As you begin to follow these day by day, the question also arises, well, I have a dream every night, and this you're talking about a lot of time. My friends, obviously, some dreams come and go and have no meaning to you at all. But the ones that begin to empower you, that attract you either for positive or negative reasons, these are the dreams that I ask you to begin to live with. Meaning, begin to relate to those energies in the dream. Live with them. Sit around and, you know, instead of watching the Universal Mandala, watch your own inner television set, you know. You've got one going all the time. And all of these images can begin to say to you, this is what you need. This is what you've lost. This is what I'm trying to say to you. This is the power. Did you notice who had the power in the dream? In any nightmare, you have to figure out who holds the power, and it is not you. In a dream, when all of your relaxation is there and these things come to you in an overwhelming way, to just observe them and not to unravel the mystery of them is, excuse me, to me, a waste of time. Because then it takes a very, very long time. We are talking about people who want to get on with it. And I repeat, if you are a great meditator and spend much of your life meditating hour after hour, as those great Tibetans did, absolutely. The dream would unfold, begin to dance. You would begin to see different parts every, you know, with every hour meditation. If we could sit here for 10 days and meditate, we wouldn't have to do any of this. They would just unroll in their own way. But you see, you only get vignettes every night. You see, here, there, there, there. And, you know, many of you also live a life that doesn't allow for dream, deep dream. If you work very, very hard and you fall asleep, the body itself just takes you to a very deep level and you don't have a lot of dreams because you're always in acceleration. I would absolutely say that if you have a meditative life, as the old wonderful Tibetans did, by all means, allow it to unravel. I do not think we have that kind of opportunity at this time. So I would say to you to get into and to understand. If you understand what the power in the dream is, then you will be happy to meet with it. It is an energy that you have created in your life, and it is a part of you. It is not something that has been stuck on you as a Christmas tree ornament on a Christmas tree that somebody just wandered around and dropped on. It is something that you have created, and there is a rapport. And the energy comes, and the energy can teach, and it can open it up. The symbols of the dream state are very important. Now, one of the reasons that anxiety moves in your life is that you have what I would call periphery fears that have not been identified. There is nothing so fearful in your life that if it is identified, you cannot deal with it. Whether it is your own death, which is in truth the most frightening thing you have to face, although most people have not really come to the place to accept that. But if you stop to think, the thought of leaving everything that you know, every total reality that you've ever experienced, and all of a sudden be moved into another state, you know not where, you know not what, you know not the nature of it, whether it be benevolent or not. Do you understand that that is always, at the end, the deepest fear that comes up in its own time? But nevertheless, up until that time, there are other fears that come upon you. If you take them out of the periphery where they just run around and bring them into the center, then you can deal with them. You can say, this is something I now can relate to and have a rapport with, and together we will reconcile, because it is a part of me. Anything that you dream is a part of you, seen in a way that either seems wondrously benevolent or, on the other hand, very difficult and somehow dark and foreboding. But nevertheless, nothing that you create would you create for your destruction. And you have created all of these images. All right, now, most of the time, a nightmare holds a part of your projection that you do not want to see, a part of yourself that you don't want to claim. That's not always the case, but it is often the case. A part of yourself that from the very beginning you were probably told you shouldn't have this feeling. You shouldn't have this feeling. You know, you become afraid and you come to your parent and the parent says, oh, there's nothing to be afraid of. And you're standing there in a state of fear. And you are told, no, no, there's nothing to be afraid of. Well, what is the message? The message is very clear. This fear is somehow not real, because mommy has said it's not real, but you're stuck with it. You were still afraid. So what do you do with the process? Somehow you push it away from you. You distance yourself from it. It goes into what you would call the unconscious, and it just sits around and keeps popping up until finally you say, I was afraid. What was I afraid of? Was I afraid of being destroyed? Was I afraid of being killed? Was I afraid of being punished? Was I afraid? What is it, you see? So all these images really can clarify so much for you.
And now Bartholomew talks with a Vietnam veteran, Stephen Aiken, about war.
I wish you could understand what war is. When anyone is trained to move into the stage of war, they are no longer under their own personal karma. They move into what is called
the karma of the warred ones, the ones in war. They move into a different force field, and they are controlled by that force field. To see a battlefield from a psychic point of view, the personal person is no longer there. Do you hear me? The persona. Are you hearing me? The person is no longer there. They have been left behind, and they are taken up because it is the will of the mass. The whole country sends them over there. The whole country, in whatever dispirited way, sends the power over there, and they are working under a totally different energy vortex, and it has a different color. Your own personal color is blue. The color of the warred ones is yellow and red, and it's always manifesting as those two, yellow and red. Mr. Aiken, there would have been no way to have been other than under that power. And the thing that no one understands is they take you and they put you in groups and put you under that power, and then they take you and separate you out back into the world. You have lost the support and the understanding of the group, because that's the way it is, and you are placed in another environment that has absolutely no energy understanding. I'm talking about energy. The training of a military person is simply to indoctrinate them into the two colors of the red and the yellow energy. Do you understand? It is not to say you did not do whatever it is. It is to say that there is a thing, and it is an actual psychic phenomena called the spirit of war. And it has existed on this planet since the first war began. And it covers and controls and takes up the people who are present in that vortex. Do you hear me? It is so much more powerful than their own individual persona that they can do nothing else. Do you really think that anyone would go out and do unless they were under a power so incredibly stronger than their own individual persona? Don't you understand? No one on any side of any country. No one. But it is this, it is the building of and the calling upon and the drawing into all of these young men that power, and they have nothing to say about it. Do you hear me? You gave up your individual will by the force of a government that sent you to fight. The price you paid was your personal will, your personal need, your personal self, in order to function as a part of an energy field that you did not want to have any part of. There was no choice, Mr. Aiken. It was simply a directive. And being an obedient man, you went. I'm trying to tell you that imagery that you hold in your mind of what you did has nothing to do with you. The power of the red and the yellow moves, and you act accordingly. Do you understand me, Mr. Aiken? It has nothing to do with personal will. The thing that I'm asking of you is the hardest of all, is to take it impersonally, to take those actions impersonally, because you were not acting with your personal will. And as hard as it is for you to understand, it is also true of the German Third Reich. It is also true of everything that you, as Americans, postulate as the enemy, but it is still the same. It is that power that is generated, and you have to act under it. Your personal will is left behind. It manifests and is easily seen on the battlefield as large tongues of flames, yellow and red, moving across the minds of men. That is the way. If you've ever seen a personification of war by a psychic, it always remains that. with the red and the yellow flames that simply move out of control of the personas wandering on the battlefield, totally engulfed in something that they have no control over. You, as a planet, have built the force of the red and the yellow for centuries, and it is alive. It is as alive as any other force, and you all have built it through all of your incarnative patterns. And it exists, Mr. Aiken. And you were one that was asked to go and walk under it. So you understand when I say to you, I do not see personal karma, Mr. Aiken. I do not. I do not. We're not done yet. See personal karma, Mr. Aiken. I do not. So you understand when I say to you, I do not see personal karma.
The runes are one of the oldest ways of finding help. I told you you have meditation. I told you you have dreams. You all know you have the I Ching if you can understand it, which most people cannot. The runes are quite a different matter, and they are material available to the Western psyche. Because you are in Western bodies, you have taken on a lot of the Western psyche. Next choice, if you come again, you may decide that you have had enough Western, you'd like to go back to the Eastern, at which time, I assure you, the I Ching and its symbology will make good sense to you. It's simply a matter of having to be selective. You cannot have it all pouring through you at the same time, so you put yourself into compartments only to play the game with a lot more delight. And it simply doesn't matter. Some people enjoy a foot in each world, one in the West, one in the East. Some of you as Westerners have removed your foot from the West and placed it strongly in the East. It doesn't matter. You will learn anyway, whatever way you choose. This particular set of runes is done in another way. I use them because I feel, as I observe their power, that they are accurate. I do not feel that all things that have come into the, quote, New Age are accurate. I feel these are accurate. I suggest something very strongly to each and every one of you. Do with it what you will. There are many, many books written about many things. Just as I find that the set of runes here, the Book of Runes, with the last name, let me get this down for the tape, Ralph Blum, is that correct? Mm-hmm. Ralph Blum is essential and meaningful and right. I also have come across, through Mary Margaret, another text which is equally right for the subject of the child within you. I beg you to consider this, please. It is called The Magical Child Within You. By Dr. Bruce Davis. Dr. Bruce Davis. Now, why this book and not the others, I don't know. All I know is that through Mary Margaret, I have access to a certain amount of material on the physical plane. This text lays out, without question, what it is that you need to know and how you can go about getting the child to be an equal partner in your life with you. And in so doing, you will find that the angers that were irrational, the self-pity that was irrational, the jealousies, the possessiveness, all of those things, the feelings of self-worthlessness, all of these things seem to begin to make sense in the context of how to get rid of it. I do not ever wish to bring anything to your attention that you cannot cure. And I will tell you that the child within can be cured without a lot of humbug. You simply have to be ready. Dr. Davis has other books which are equally interesting, but since it was clear that this one was going to be forthcoming, because this is the child that the exercise that Ms. Franklin performs, I think, so well, always brings forward. It's why we ask you to take particular attention to it. Art is the part of you that dances, but it also cries. Some of you have not really cried for a long, long time. You have not screamed or shouted or beat the floor or showed your anger. And you say, that's childish. And I say, yes, that's right. That's childish. You weren't allowed to do it when you were little, were you? Oh, go to your room and stop being silly. Oh, stop doing that, or I'll give you something to really cry about. Oh, get out of my sight until you're appropriate. In a million ways, the child inside learns it is not welcome. But without it being welcome in your life, there will be no spontaneity. There will be no joyful leaping and bounding around the flowers in the meadows, no matter what your age. There will be no real release in sexual activity. There will be no real embracing and intimacy in your life. The child within is the vital part to the elasticity of your well-being, and it's been long overdue. In the old days, before all of the advent of psychology, the wise ones had ways, and they had their students crawling around on their hands and knees in the dirt, in the flowers, in the fields, up the rocks, into the water. They held them in their arms and rocked them in the waters. They knew. The natural connection has always been there, and they knew. But you have so distanced yourself from the natural way that now all of these things have to come to you in a way that is separate from your spiritual growth, which is what my plea is to you. Do not separate these things from your spiritual growing, because you will not grow spiritually until all of the parts of you are equally alive and well and spontaneously working with you. No one would bother to come to such a meeting as this unless their spiritual side was fine. You know, you identify with the wise one in you, which is your spiritual guide. People acknowledge that with ease. And many of you accept the child within to some extent or other. But the one that I'm going to talk about now is the lover within. It is my observation that about 98% of the people in love relationships are not happy. They have some degree of happiness at some time, and a tremendous amount of unhappiness through fear of loss, or fear of not getting what they want, or not getting what they need. And as soon as they get what they need, they're terrified that they're going to lose it. So they're afraid to want to need it, because now if they need it and get it, then they will lose it and they will be dismal. You see, so the circle goes round endlessly. And what you end up doing is realizing that somehow you keep trying to fix human relationship, and no matter what you do, you usually can't fix it. Some of you have good, spontaneous relationships, but they're rare. And it doesn't matter. Your happiness does not depend on a love affair. Your happiness does not depend on a love affair with a love affair outside of yourself. But a love affair inside of yourself is absolutely essential. And it is my observation, because it was my path when I was on this earth plane, that until I understood that the outer was simply a mirror and a symbol of something that I was seeking inside myself, I went around and around and around, one lifetime getting someone compatible, the next time falling flat on my face. Getting the next lifetime somebody partially compatible, the next lifetime again falling flat on my face. And when I finally had access to the second to the last lifetime on earth, I had access to all of the reincarnative patterns. I'd experienced, and I saw the patterning. And I stood there as I was standing, and I said, good grief. Something is awry. Something is missing. How many more lifetimes am I going to go on rotating between the getting and the not getting? And it was at that time that I decided to take what I call the last step into the abyss, or whatever we want to call that blissful state. It was when I saw clearly that with all of the power of all of my trying, I had love in my heart, I had desire to please, I had all of the requirements, and half of the time I was fine, and the other half of the time I was not. It occurred to me that the divine power in me did not really encourage me always having beautiful emotional relationships. Because when I did, I had the tendency, because I am that kind of psyche, to simply bask in it in gratitude and sit there and do nothing. Do you understand? And when you simply just sit there and bask and do nothing, that's what happens. Not a lot of nothing, just nothing, endlessly. When I saw in that lifetime that the very thing that I was seeking so strongly outside of me was the thing that I was denying inside of myself in order to teach me the final lesson, then I let go. Now, what is this final lesson? I will tell you my story. You do with it what you want. The circumstances are not important. Where I was, who I was. That's irrelevant. What is relevant is, having spent a lifetime of trying to find love outside myself and failing, as I came into what you would call my last life on this earth plane, I came in with the determination to decide to find the lover inside of myself, whatever that meant. And I did it in a very careful and precise way. Since my last lifetime, I took the form of a male. It was my conscious choice to begin envisioning the feminine. Constantly did I talk to the female lover within, as soon as I became of age. I am not trying to impart that I started this in my cradle, if I had one. As I recall, it was not a cradle at all. Much different shape. But when I was old enough to really know that I was yearning for that kind of love, I began by envisioning, talking to, confiding in, and making real the feminine part of my nature. I did it all the time. There were always three people in the room, even if there was just two of us, because she was always with me. This is the oldest known technique on how to find the God within. Every nun who ever joined any nunnery knows that she goes to find the male God within. The monk goes to find the Divine Mother, or Mary, whatever you choose to call her. This is the way to unify the heart. And the way that I did it was very simple. It was just endless. I was constantly in rapport with it. I was constantly asking it to show me its caring for me, its nurturing for me, to fill me with the things that my life was not giving me. As I would walk, I would dwell on it. As I would fall asleep, I would dwell on it. And for years, I went around building a rapport with the lover within me. You have very sophisticated ways of talking about this now. You call it the male and female within you. Fine. You call it the archetypes. Fine. Call it anything you want. The reality is, and I say this because I know it to be true, that there are two energies within you, and when you are determined to blend them together, what you have is the sense of total love, nourishment, and wholeness within you, without the need to have that from something outside of your life. The reason I do not present this often is that many of you enjoy the pursuit of love in the external world tremendously, and therefore I have no desire to discourage you. But those of you who are a bit discouraged, or who would like to have something a little stronger, I ask you to think seriously about this journey. This does not eliminate having a mate in the outer world. In fact, when this begins to get more and more and more empowered within you, and you are less and less grabbing outside of you, you find that people are coming in the doors and in the windows because you are a place that they do not have to feel they must perform. You are simply there, and they can rest with you and abide with you, and they are at ease because you are not asking them for something from them. This is not a strange, esoteric presentation. It is a basic psychological truth that happens to lead to a sense of wholeness, which in turn gives you the peace within. When you have brought through your constancy these two forces together, you are empowered and balanced in all parts of your being, and you well know it. The interesting thing is, many of you have chosen to be alone for particular stretches of time, and instead of taking that as an exciting possibility to develop the lover within, there often is a sense of anxiety. Oh my goodness, I've got to get out there and find somebody to fill my life. I would ask you to do something quite different. I would ask you to begin to be dedicated to the finding of this within yourself on a constant, ongoing basis, and realizing that the other is simply something that comes along in its own due time and can be enjoyed, but not possessed. With this kind of love inside yourself, it never occurs to you to possess. Because possess means I am somehow going to keep my loved one from doing what he or she wants to do. And you know within yourself that that is not what love wants. You do not need to have them do what you want to do, because you are doing inside of yourself what you want to do. It is the liberation from the illusion that outside of you is your union with yourself. It is inside of you. Those of you in relationships, you don't have to throw them out the window. You don't have to run to the divorce court. All you have to do is to start building within yourself that incredible love and care and nurturing and bringing into consciousness the lover within you. Attributes will then be mirrored outside of you in your present lover, which is a delight. This is a high teaching, and many of you will never hear it again in this lifetime. So be it. But there are a few of you present, which is why I bring it forward, who have the capability. You all have the capability, but some of you do not yet have the desire. But a few of you who have the desire, I ask you to be serious about this. When you want to be loved, the energy comes. When you want to feel beautiful, the energy comes. It's very personal. It's so personal that we have to identify it in the words of lover, because nothing else will really fit. If you start to really deal with this with any seriousness, it will come out in everything you do. It will come out in your work. It will come out in your song. It will come out in your speech. It will come out. You will then begin to... You see, the reason that you're not lovers is because you're afraid to be lovers. You realize, those of you who are trying to be lovers, you know deeply inside you're not really lovers, because there are the fears. The real lover is just totally, totally open to whatever happens to the loved one and allows it to move and have its being in its own sweet way. And that is not what human love is about. It's about rules and regulations and who's going to do the dishes. We all know that. But when... Humor here, please. But when you begin saying, I am ready to feel the lover within me, you will begin to take careful steps, and they'll be your own steps, how to begin to talk to the lover. You don't know. Most of you, although you've been in love affairs since you were old enough to figure it out, have never really been a lover. You have never had the ability to abandon yourself into a love affair, because when you begin, the other person starts going backwards and saying, oh no, that looks very, very, very scary to me. Shh, don't say all those things. You understand? The minute you start going forward, the other one starts going backwards, because to really fall into love is a frightening experience, because you are afraid of rejection, you're afraid of being too much, you're afraid of all of these things. And so you let them out in little rivulets. They go out and then you pull them back, and a little more and you pull them back. But when you decide to be just a letting go into being in touch with the lover, you find out what it means to be a lover. And I will tell you something, then you will be a prize commodity, and they'll be standing in line. Because the consciousness that allows itself to really love, to really say, I love you, and say it and not be waiting for the... What? Waiting, you see? Just giving it with the wholeness of the heart, and this is what I have to say, because this is how I feel. And then walking on to the next thing, and then to the next thing. And to find that lover within, building and building, you begin to understand why you've had so little genuine love in your life. It's because you have not been able to give a genuine love to your life. The moment you are really aware of that, everything inside of you begins to change. You begin to find places to show your love, to say your love, to give your love, without having to in any way expect anything in return, because you can walk out of the room because you have your love with you. Many of your dreams of loss, of lover, come from this source. Not from losing a physical lover, but from knowing within yourself that you are not adequate lover enough to hold any love in your life. May I repeat that? The great fear that you live with is that you are not lover enough to be able to hold human love in your life. Check out my data if you doubt me. The question is not so much, will they continue to love me? But am I a sufficiently wondrous lover to hold this amazing thing called love in my life? And that's where the fear arises. And you try to go out and have someone in your life convince you that they will stay with you, which will then prove that you are the kind of lover that you want to be. But they can give you no promises. There are no promises. The only safe harbor is to know inside of yourself that you are a lover of quality, that you have the quality of lover within. And in so knowing, you do not have to ask the world to show you. You will know it. Do you understand the simplicity of it? And the fear dream of the loss is nothing more than asking inside and saying, I'm not good enough at it. I don't love enough. And since I don't love enough, love will leave my life. It isn't that they're going to leave you. It is that you are afraid that you have so little that you cannot hold what you're given. Just please try it. When you begin to feel the lover come alive inside of you, you will begin to be whole for the first time in your life. Many of you have destroyed love affairs simply so you could create this truth. There is no one in this room that does not have enough magnetism to draw a love affair to them. Not one. Then why do some have not? Because the deep self still says, how about you? How about the lover in you? How about the divine partner in you that's waiting? In my own drama, it wasn't long, as it will not be with you, until the power became so alive that for a while I had this wonderful feeling that I was two people walking, myself and other, as if inside of me was an other, closer than hands and feet, always waiting to respond to my need, and constantly protective in every way. My difficulty was, I got so addicted to that feeling that I didn't want to drop it and blend into the one. Do you understand? I didn't want to go that final step that says, look, there's only one. So my difficult process came of having to learn to walk with pulling the two into the one. So when you arrive at that, you will know. Remember my words. There will come a time of knowing that the two have to become one. It is an intoxicating feeling to feel that power within you. There is nothing on earth that you can drink or smoke that will give it to you. I promise you that. Be serious, because it is the time. With the increased power that's moved onto this earth plane, your chances are maximum now. Don't wait. 1986 is a year of change. The stability that you need and want is the lever within. Build it so strongly that you will come to the place that says, when two or more are gathered in my name, there shall I be. Which is how I found my way home. When I became conscious and remembered the statement, when two or more are gathered, there is still but one, I was able to take away the final curtain between myself and the self. From that moment on, there was but one, not only in me, but everywhere I looked. Upon everything that my eye fell was myself. There was nothing that was not myself. There was nothing to seek, because everything was myself. There was nothing to fear, because everything was myself. And how could I fear myself? And it happened that way. If it can happen for me, it can happen for you. I am not your God, I am your brother. And what one brother can do, another cannot.